We also didn't, there's lots of characters we haven't used that we thought of.
Well, that's right.
And a lot of, we know a lot more about some, we usually know more about a character than we ever use. I found a note going through my stuff down at Eugene about Sir Gauntlet. Now, this is an example of what you might call the iceberg method of characterization. That is, showing you how much more a writer knows about a character than he ever puts in a book. This is just a little character sketch I wrote to, after we'd been talking about Sir Gauntlet. Sir Gauntlet, tall, handsome, square-jawed, consciously stony-faced. Strides about dramatically, gravely and elaborately gallant to ladies, strikes superbly chivalrous poses, fond of turning profile, which is excellent, and gazing somberly and spiritually into distance when anybody is looking. In spite of these harmless self-dramatizations, he is a pathetically frustrated man, since bound by tradition to expend energies and chivalry on fighting Sir Greaves only, and Sir Greaves won't fight. Therefore, Sir Gauntlet's poses grow emptier and emptier as years pass, and he is in danger of becoming absolutely ridiculous as well as frustrated. If he could fight somebody, he wouldn't have to pose so much. He could relax and enjoy life. As it is, he must pose more and more fiercely all the time to prevent people from even thinking of laughing at him. He broods about all this. Now, reading the finished book, you'd never dream I knew all this about Sir Gauntlet, would you?
Well, it's not only Sir Gauntlet. I mean, it's like what you said earlier about building characters up using detail rather than building buildings with building materials. Like these notes we found about Roundelay. When we were planning Merry-Go-Round, we really didn't have Roundelay clear at first.
No, anything but.
This is the note we have about Roundelay. Medicine man or some other term. Also peddler, like other roundheads. Calls often at Halidom to sell wheels, pie, and balls. Has got acquainted with Sir Greaves because he sells him pie regularly. Halidom is his territory, so he learned about rings, wiver, etc. He is only roundhead who is sly and scheming. The others are simple and nice and don't know Roundelay stole the ring. He is skinny with pointed hat that has ball on point. Has ball fringe around collar. Writes with ballpoint pen. He is spirosaur, spearseer, smoothsayer. You see, we didn't know what to call
it. We didn't know
what
to call it at first. We finally decided on
spearseer.
I've never been able to say there's another thing about naming places. That's kind of hard, too. In Forbidden Fountain, we had quite a bout with indecision when it came to naming these places. One of them was that thing that ended up, I think, Clean Up Tupia. I found a little piece of paper, just a little scrap, that proved that we considered Clean Utopia, Cleansatorium, and Bathysphere, well, I finally used the Bathysphere, as possible names of our precinct, region, peninsula, or salient. We didn't even know what to call it. We finally became a province called Pristinia. Also noted on this paper, which is about 3 by 4 inches, is the cryptic message to the dirty outside world, followed by a list of words. Fumigated, sterilized, deodorized, purified, disinfected, hygienic, starched, and guaranteed spick and span. As an afterthought comes, I'll be spick if you'll be span, which I might have considered as a possible remark from Kabuffo. It rather sounds like him in one of his more sardonic moments, but Lynn would have made
me cut it. I probably wouldn't have let you say it. I was very worried about Kabuffo. But the naming, though, that one was hard. But sometimes it's just a matter of logic, like Halidom. When we got into Halidom in the fox hunting country, it was just a matter of researching what we did. I was sort of in my British history period at the time. And so I got a book on heraldry, and we just began picking out words. And everything, all the words we liked, we tried to use. And some of them sounded like names, like Harold, of course, and Jules means red, obviously, and the river Argent, that's silver, and all those heraldic terms.
And the sandbar is sinister.
Yes, that was my idea.
Yeah. And then we got lists of animals, and that's where we got the wiver. We never did find out what a wiver was, but it was in a list of animals, so we sort of started imagining what a wyvern might be like, and we figured it might be a vaguely dragon-like type, but rather small. And incidentally, speaking of small things, I'll bet you would never guess that the flittermouse started out as a little brown creature. I can't even imagine it now. But how did we get the flittermouse? Well, he was heraldic,
and we looked at it and said, flittermouse, is that like deflatermouse? Does that mean it's a bat? And we didn't want it to be a bat, you know, that would be sort of icky, so we decided it was a little mouse with wings. And maybe we made it blue. Why did we make him blue?
I don't know whether it was because it was in the Munchkin country or just because we wanted it to be something that it wouldn't ordinarily be.
Something unbat-like.
Fantasy-like. So he turned out to be light blue. Some other planning notes I found was a whole list of fox hunting terms, also a list of names of hounds, real ones, real foxhounds of the past, famous ones, I suppose, so we could find out what their names sounded like, what sort of names they had. A list of incidents for the story, that's just about one page. A synopsis of about 40 pages, which we sent to Maxine Rieckhoff to see whether she wanted the book. And a chapter-by-chapter synopsis that we worked with the time of day specified and handwriting out for each chapter and the chronology cleared up and made it. And I know that was one of the very hardest things. And meal times.
Yeah, we kept saying, my God, these people haven't had anything to eat for 3 days.
We would have to figure out some way that they could just naturally come across food at that point. And this is, you have no idea how hard these details are. They're much harder than the plotting. And as also to get three parties coming from three different places and all getting together at the right spot is, and that crowded map.
Oh.
Yes. I understand that when we wrote Merry-Go-Round, Jim Half was very annoyed with us because we had just gaily put our country wherever we wanted to, and he had to do the working it in. But we were asked for Forbidden Fountain to please try to work it into the existing map. And then we had to lay.
Yeah, I did the map for that.
Then had to labor with that. And all these people, I still think that's why we had them changed to insects once, and so that they could just fly over sometimes.
Questions?
Yes,
we're about finished.
We've about talked you out. I'm sure you want to do something else, but if you have any questions to ask us, we'd be very happy to answer them.